You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
That's a concept worth embracing, especially when it comes to our parents and our grandparents and our seniors. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're tuned in to Senior Agenda with Lisa Stockdale. I'm your host, Lisa Stockdale, and this is radio the way it should be heard. Welcome to Senior Agenda, where we discuss all things senior. No topic is taboo. Nothing's too boring, and nothing's off limits. Bottom line, if it matters to seniors, we're going to talk about it. And we'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to call in at any time during today's program. You can do that by dialing 1-877-932-9766. We have a very special Slow Down, Listen, and Learn segment planned for you with Miss Sandra Gervis. She's in the studio with us. But first, I think we have a senior soapbox thing going on. Yeah, whenever we hear that, that means Lisa's going to climb up on the senior soapbox and do a little complaining and whining. I don't do it very often, Dennis. We got Dennis the Menace in the studio with us this morning as well. Dennis is our youthful voice. He'll be here all summer long telling us what the youth know and understand and what they don't know and understand about seniors. It's gone both ways, hasn't it?
Yes, it does.
So what I'm upset about this morning is what a lot of people are upset about in this country. What the media is calling the VA scandal. The VA scandal. And here's what we're hearing from our politicians. We take these allegations seriously. We are closely examining the facts. We are working tirelessly to get to the bottom of this. We are deeply concerned. This is unacceptable. We are prepared to act pending the outcome. Blah, blah, blah. Puke, gag, choke, vomit, and blah some more. That's just a bunch of political profanity, which morphs into blasphemy when it's used to gloss over the breach of trust committed by the U.S. government, our government, regarding the lack of care, cooked books, gross incompetence, and what ought to be classified as criminal behavior in the Veterans Administration. It is an absolute betrayal. It's a betrayal of the men and women who put their lives on hold and at risk to defend our freedoms and protect our interests at home and abroad. And it's a betrayal of the American people. We know code for we're a bunch of pencil-pushing bureaucrats with our heads up our elbows who will cover for one another at every turn, all the time, from here to there, and everywhere in between. Anytime we are in jeopardy or being held accountable, we start hearing things like, we're very concerned and we take this very seriously and we're going to investigate. And when we do that, then we'll tell you how we're going to handle this. We also know how to decipher your sidestepping, hocus pocus, mumble jumble. And we know you don't mean it when you say you're mad as hell. Our president said that. He said he was mad as hell about this. Except when I get mad as hell, things happen. And the only thing that we have seen happen regarding this VA scandal so far is one guy lost his job and some other people got put on paid leave of absence. That is not enough, Mr. President. And while you don't like to talk about the fact that you are ultimately responsible for all of this in any meaningful way, we know that that is the case. In the wake of the scandal with 26 VA facilities currently under investigation, allegations that 40 veterans have died awaiting care in Phoenix, the Obama administration recently announced that more veterans will be able to obtain care at private hospitals. And that is our Band-Aid of the month. I'm taking this from a blog that I wrote just prior to Memorial Day, and tomorrow is Independence Day, and as I said, nothing has really changed, except the head of the VA administration did finally lose his job when they realized that the corruption was so widespread and that people were screaming and yelling, and people truly were mad as hell that they had to do something about it, and as I said, some other people have been put on paid leave of absence. I think it's criminal, and I want to see it pursued criminally. I want to see criminal charges pressed, and I want to see some transparency in all of this. And that doesn't mean an 800-page document that none of us can decipher or decode. Transparency means this is what we thought it was, this is what it is, and this is what we're going to do about it. So that is my rant for the morning. The VA scandal. It's a mess. It's a shame when you cannot provide your veterans with honest, real health care. When you have to make up waiting lists and allow people to die because the care is deemed too expensive or the veterans are not deemed worthy. And when you start taking stuff off the table, I think that's what you really get to. What you really get to is that our veterans are seen as disposable. Well, they're not disposable, folks. They're people. And you know that, and I know that. And most of them are seniors. And you know that, and I know that. And we are truly angry. And we're not going to stop talking about this because I think in this country, historically speaking, we sort of have a sitcom memory. And it comes in the news. Sandra, do you agree with me?
Yeah, about that. Yeah
about that.
Absolutely.
And there's all this noise, and then 6 months later, nobody even remembers what we were talking about. So, Brother Ed, I got done with my rant early. Give me that slow down, listen, and learn segue. Well, I don't know if anyone will ever write your life story, but I do know this. Here on Senior Agenda, we'd love to hear the highlights. If you didn't get this far in life without having a story to tell, your experiences and life lessons provide insight and encouragement to the rest of us when we slow down, listen, and learn. Listen and learn as today's senior guests reveal their legacies on TalkTainmentRadio.com. You're the best thing that ever happened. So, Miss Sandra, you are our Slow Down, Listen, and Learn guest this morning. Are you ready to encourage us and inspire us?
Yes, I'll do my best.
You'll do your best. I'm quite sure your best will be good enough. You have written and had published 16 books.
Yes.
16. These days, it seems everyone's written a book.
Yes.
But not everyone's written 16.
And especially 16 books about many different things.
Yeah, I know. Your topics sort of go the gamut there.
Yeah.
And you've had hundreds of articles published in magazines.
Right.
And your work has been featured all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I started out basically a very long time ago. It was probably the late 70s. You know, publishing was a completely different game then. You know, you had your New York publishing, and people would send in manuscripts, typed in manuscripts, and hope to make $1 million, which is what I hoped to do. It didn't happen that way, of course, but
okay.
It was a completely different game. It was like almost exclusive, and you had to get into the club, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the trick was that I didn't know anybody in the club. And I just kind of started small and worked my way up, and I was just determined. I just kept at it. You know, I wanted to write for People magazine. I didn't give up till I got published in People magazine.
All right. So what was your first published piece, book or not?
It was not a book. It was what happened was I was a child of the 60s. I've written two books about the 60s, a novel and a nonfiction book. And it started out with me wanting to write a book about my friends in college. And I sat down and I filled six notebooks with, you know, everything that happened to me and my friends in college. And I thought I was going to be the next Judith Guest, who wrote this book called Ordinary People, which became a very successful movie. I mean, she was discovered from the slush pile. So I borrowed my then husband's typewriter. I typed up the first chapter or two. I gave it to him. And I left the apartment that we were living in because I couldn't bear to watch anybody read what I'd actually written. I mean, it was like at the beginning of my career.
Sure. And that can be a painful process.
It can be, yes. And I understand that. And I left and I came back and I said, "What'd you think?" And he said, "It was terrible."
Oh, no.
I'm saying it nicely. I'm saying it in a PG manner.
Oh, that's not really what he said, huh?
No. And I got mad.
Okay, wait, Sandra, is he still your husband?
No, but that isn't the reason we divorced. That has nothing to do with
that. Let's make it about that. Okay.
Let's not, because actually, if it wasn't for him, he was the one that actually encouraged me to write.
All right, so maybe he was right?
He was right.
Okay.
He was, all right. Yes.
So your first try, it wasn't so glamorous.
No, it wasn't. And then I just said, okay, well, maybe I ought to learn how to walk before I run. And I started writing little articles for like Weight Watchers magazine and little publications in around Columbus. Maybe I didn't. I think the first article I actually had published was for a magazine called Columbus Homes and Gardens. And they had one issue and the editor had a nervous breakdown. I never got paid. But I think I got a clip out of that one. So, you know, something I could show other people.
A byline,
a published
example.
And then I just started writing for little magazines, and then I started writing for magazines that paid. I worked my way up from the bottom. You know, I would query editors. I tried not to be overly aggressive, which is hard sometimes, but I kind of worked my way up from the bottom.
Now, do you remember that first paycheck?
Yeah, I do, and I never forget my first acceptance letter, which I don't even think people get those. They get acceptance emails or acceptance texts. They don't get acceptance letters.
Okay.
But my daughter was 6 months old, and I'd written a short story about my grandmother. And I went to the mail. I wasn't even living at home. I was living in someone's house because we were building a house. And I went and got the mail, and there was a letter from the Times Outlook, a magazine, and they had accepted my short story, and I got paid $25 for it.
$25. Did you do the hallelujah dance?
I did. I was my first acceptance. Come on.
Yeah,
from somebody who actually validated the fact that I was going, didn't know me and didn't, you know, oh, maybe I can do this.
You know, it wasn't all those things that your husband had initially told you it was anymore.
No, I mean, it wasn't that he said I was a bad writer. He said the book was poorly written, and he was right.
It was
poorly. It was a first attempt. It was a first draft.
But you got your house in order, and someone saw value in something you did.
And it was not even that book. It was something completely different.
Sure.
And I spent, and unlike the book, which I just sat down and wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness that the original manuscript was destroyed in a flood in our basement, because I don't want anybody ever to see it. It was that bad. But this short story, the difference between that book and this short story was I spent hours, and this is before computers, cutting and pasting and revising and revising and revising.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it used to be more of a work of labor. The computer sort of, excuse me, helps us out these days.
Yeah.
I can remember literally throwing my typewriter out my bedroom window once. I was so frustrated. And you're laughing, but the bad news is my bedroom was on the second floor. So. Now, the good news is that darn typewriter wasn't even hurt.
Oh, God. Of course not. No. You were, but the typewriter survived.
Right. Yeah. Yes, I got in a little trouble. Yeah. Right. I was still a child living at home, you know, in
well,
my teens.
You were doing what I wish I could have done many times before the computer came into effect.
Yes. Ugh. You're listening to Senior Agenda, where we discuss all things senior, heard on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the only on-demand radio you'll ever need. Remember, we go live every Thursday morning at 10, and that program re-airs on Thursdays at 5, and then again 9. If you are listening to us today and you went in through the TalkTainment Radio homepage, I need you to, at break or soon, go under programs, scroll down to Thursday, look for Senior Agenda, hit that tab, and push that Listen Live button, because it is the only way I get ratings. We only recently found this out.
Oh.
So please do that if you are listening to us this morning. If you can't catch us on Thursdays, that's all right. Columbus Community Radio carries us on Sunday evenings at 7. That's 98.3 and 102.1 on your FM dial here locally in Central Ohio. And, of course, the podcasts are available for your convenience. And we are interviewing Miss Sandra Gervis this morning, a Slow Down, Listen, and Learn segment. She is just incredibly prolific and, come on, 16 books.
Yeah.
That's something to be proud of.
I am proud of it, actually.
Favorite book? You knew I was going to ask.
There is no favorite. It's just like with children.
you love them all the same?
Not really, but okay. There's some I like more than others, but they're really, I mean, they're all different. I mean, they're just the novels. I really enjoy it. Well, the first novel, The Pipe Dreamers, that took me 25 years. That was a book I was telling you about.
Okay, tell me about that. Tell me about a little bit about the storyline.
The story, it's set in a Midwestern college that oddly resembles Miami University, because all of my work oddly resembles something, you know. That's kind of what I do, but I do it in such a way so as not to get myself sued, but hopefully. But it's set in a fictitious college that resembles Miami University in the late 60s, early 70s, and I wrote it because I wanted to capture the time that myself and my friends lived through. It was a very intense, very wonderful, and very difficult time. And it just was something that I had to do. It's like a lot of times with me, stuff chooses me and I don't choose it. And that is why I've written so many different things, because I've written everything from this book about the 60s to the satire on New Albany, Country Club Wives, the novel,
mm-hmm.
to Ohio travel books, offbeat Ohio travel books, yeah. which I enjoy. I do medical writing, which I enjoy. And it's like, I must have like literary ADD. I think it must be it. And now I'm working on this book on presidential libraries, which I've done, wanted to do for over 30 years. I mean, ever since I was a little girl, longer than that, probably, maybe.
And I definitely want to talk to you about your presidential libraries book, because I know you're in the process of raising some money,
yes.
and time is running out.
Yes.
So we want to help people understand how they can
make a donation
and help you make this happen. But I've always been fascinated with the 60s.
Oh, good.
Were you a protester? Were you a flower child?
I was all of those things. I was 18 when the students were shot at Kent State, and I was torn between and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to write The Pipe Dreamers, because I was torn between the value of my parents and my friends, what they wanted to do. And it seemed like I felt, and I'm sure I wasn't alone, but because I was so young, I felt like I was the only person who was going through all of this.
Sure.
So a lot of times when I write something like this, it's because I want to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I did is I wrote about me and what happened to me that very first time. Then I realized, as I became more prolific and proficient in writing nonfiction and started to do nonfiction about the 60s, started to take classes in writing fiction. This was a long process. This was not something that I just sat down and wrote a book and published it and hoped to sell it. I'm not saying that's, and I'm sure a lot of writers don't do that, but I think a lot of people, when they get their first, and I'm going off subject, but I'll get back to the 60s.
Okay.
A lot of people, when they get their first book published, they just kind of think that everything's going to fall into place. And I mean, you're just another voice in the wilderness, and as am I. I'm just another voice in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And as writers, it's kind of up to us to figure out how we can break through and reach out to the person and give them something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but getting back to reason why I wrote The Pipe Dreamers is I wanted to make sense of it.
Do you think it was pipe dreams that y'all were dreaming about in the 60s?
I think so. Okay. I think so. I think that it was, it was a very special time. It was very different than now. People were very idealistic. Mm-hmm. They wanted, our boys were dying in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. You know, even though college kids were in a different kind of socioeconomic class because they could get the student deferments, they still were dying.
Mm-hmm.
In a war that nobody wanted and nobody understood.
What has happened to our idealism? And I'll give you an example. We started off with, I got on my senior soapbox and was talking about the VA scandal. That particular blog, I have about 20, I'm going to call them venues, where I'm able to send my blog to, and they send it out to their spheres. And each of them have, about 1,000 people in their email networks or however their networks look. And I had several folks who refused to share that particular blog because it was too controversial. And I thought, well, for God's sakes, everything can't always be rainbows and butterflies. Hmm. But I'm not really in a position to argue with them because I don't want them to stop sending, my other stuff.
Right.
Now, if things get too out of hand, I will speak up. But it seems like idealism is a thing that's lost, and ideas are almost manufactured, and it goes along with this whole notion of political correctness, and we're all told what we ought to think and what we ought to speak. And
I don't think that it's as much lost as it can be misplaced at times. I think that this is also controversial, but giving an example of the war in Iraq.
Sure.
There was a whole generation of young people, including my son, who was a veteran, and this is another thing I want to write about,
okay.
Who went over there because they thought they were doing good, and they believe that. And there still is idealism there. I mean, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It may be misplaced, and it may have been misplaced in my generation, too. I'm sure we definitely had some misplaced ideals. And we were the people that my generation was the people went ahead and did that war in Iraq. And I'm like, what did we learn from Vietnam?
Mm-hmm.
Except how to kill people better. And I was pretty upset about that, I will tell you.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Here's what I will say to that. During the Vietnam conflict, and I don't know because I was just a child, but you tell me, I assume, based on everything I've studied, that the whole country had the mindset we're at war. It was, right, everybody knew.
Yes, they knew.
Okay, we forget that we're at war today. And this has been the case for the past 12 years. So that's where that lack of, we don't want to talk about real ideas. That's what I'm getting at.
Two things. There's not a draft. It's a voluntary military.
This is true.
Number two, when I was a kid growing up in Dayton, Ohio, my father and I had these huge arguments because we watched the news, TV news at dinner.
Yeah.
And they talk about the body count. Every day. And these boys that died in Iraq are shipped back with very little, nothing.
Yeah.
Nobody says anything.
Yeah, and we don't hear it.
And then
we
don't talk about the people in Iraq, the civilians, and as with the Vietnamese and the Cambodians. How many civilians are impacted by this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're disposable.
Right.
I mean, I don't feel that way.
Right, no, I
but
understand.
But when nobody ever talks about those people,
that's
I get very upset about it.
Memory.
Yeah, that's
that
why I laughed when you said that.
About.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, Dennis the Menace is in the studio with us.
Yeah.
He always waits for me to put him on the hot seat. So, what do you think about all this, young man?
Well, the Vietnam War, I was not born. So
right.
Can't speak about the ideas of the people there. But
do you study?
Do I study?
I mean,
I was supposed to in school.
Okay.
Well-deserved name there.
What do you know about the Vietnam War?
Well, like Sandra said, I know it was a war that we really didn't have to participate.
Is that your take on it?
I guess, yeah. I mean, participate seems like such a loose word, but
no, that's what it was. It was in our war.
I know,
we
but
were
I just feel, yeah, participation, that just sounds, anyway. Well, all right. Vietnam War. All right.
Yeah.
So
you don't know much.
No. Okay, you got me.
That's all right. That's
well,
all right.
What are your thoughts on
that's
Iraq?
That's the reason
Iraq?
That
well,
we're, that we have you in the studio. Is to, there is a disconnect. What about Iraq?
All right, so Iraq, I have a few viewpoints on, but some of them I'm not going to share. But I feel like Iraq is also kind of a voluntary thing. I understand with 9/11 we went in and we had to fix some things there, but it's gotten to the point where I mean, we're just in there to show our dominance now, I believe.
Is that what you think?
Never, you say that, like, what's that, that what you think? I feel that's like that's the wrong answer.
No, it's not the wrong answer. That's your perspective, dear. It's not the wrong answer. Yeah. Everyone has a different perspective, and that's why you're here.
Exactly.
And I know that you, every 18-year-old doesn't think exactly like you do. I get that. But I'll betcha there's a large majority of them that do. So that's why I'm asking you. And it's not that it's the wrong answer. It's okay. just yeah. your perspective.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong answer.
Okay.
So, how come you haven't signed up?
I have signed up.
And what happened?
For the draft?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you sign up for the military?
No, I signed up for Air Force.
Air Force. Well, that's the military.
Well, yeah, but okay.
Why aren't you in the Air Force?
I decided to pursue a different career.
What does that mean? You chose college?
I chose college, yes.
Okay. All right.
And I understand that you can get after your tours and service time.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that you can go back to college
mm-hmm.
with paid off and everything. Not paid off, but paid.
Yeah, you can get some of your tuition paid.
Yeah, I just feel like college for me personally, I just feel like that's the better route.
Okay, that's fair. You think, Dennis? No, I'm just teasing you. I'm just teasing.
I also want to point one thing out. A lot of misconceptions about Iraq and 9/11. They're not necessarily related. What happened with 9/11 was a terrorist act mm-hmm. that mostly originated from Afghanistan, and Iraq had very little to do with it.
Yeah.
So that's okay. something that a lot of people, you know, they went into that whole weapons of mass destruction thing, and they never really found the weapons, and Osama bin Laden, I believe, was hiding out in the mountains of Afghanistan
yeah.
from a
yeah.
number of years. So that's something I think that we should all be really clear about.
Yeah, but there again go those misconceptions and how things sort of take on a life of their
yeah.
own, and we
yeah.
reframe them. And some of it, why I think we get chased back to 9/11 is because we need to justify it. And
yeah, well, it was pretty tough.
Right.
Yeah. I knew somebody that died in it, so yeah.
Right. I remember that morning. I think we all do. I think we yeah. all remember that Tuesday morning. You don't, Dennis?
No.
How old were you?
I was young.
Young.
I mean,
you wouldn't remember.
I was in, like, what, third? No. I don't know what grade I was in, but it was in, like, it was before.
It was 01.
Yeah.
Right?
So. See, I have a cool little system. In 01, I was in first grade. 02, I was in second grade. 03.
All right. So
yeah.
you were a first
grader. So I guess
grader.
I was either in first or second.
Gotcha.
Because I'm
gotcha.
In between.
So you're one of the few people of that age group that doesn't remember.
Yes.
Maybe the elementary kids were protected that day from the news.
Well, I remember when John F. Kennedy was assassinated.
And you are a John F. Kennedy fan,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes, I am. And I think I became aware of him when I was in about third grade. When he was, I think it was, this is really dating me now, you know exactly how old I am. I think that
it is senior agenda.
I know,
Sandra.
But
it's
still.
Okay. It's okay.
My family, the women in my family don't reveal their ages very easily.
Well, we celebrate age around here.
Anyway, which you should, because it's better than the alternative, that's
yes.
for sure. So I was about in, I think, third grade when I first became aware of John F. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought he was great. It was in the 50s, during the, you know, early 60s, and I was in a really bad situation in school. And he kind of rescued me, you know, his whole life and
his ideas.
His ideas.
His ideas.
And his sense of humor and the way that they seemed to live their lives, which I'm sure was not, you know, anything like what reality is, just caught my attention.
Sure. Now, Dennis, you're back in the hot seat.
Okay.
How old were you when you remember being aware of our first president?
How old was the first president?
Or who was the first president you had awareness of?
George Washington was the first president. The first president, I want to say it was actually George Bush that was the first president I understood, like, what
second
he did.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the second
yeah.
George Bush.
Uh-huh.
That I understood what a president is
uh-huh.
and everything. So whenever that was.
Yeah.
That was, what, 6, 7 years? I don't know.
Right. And I'll bet that was a little bit beyond third grade. And there again goes back to my point. about idealism and how it's kind of getting lost. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Check us out on WCRS-FM 98.3 Wednesday and Sunday evenings. Blogs and podcasts are also available. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We'll be back with more from Sandy Garvis, who has written 16 books and published hundreds of articles. She's talking to us about the 60s, but we're going to move beyond that quickly on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Stay right there.
Senior Agenda with Lisa Stockdale, brought to you by Freedom Home Health.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is the premier internet radio platform offering 40-plus talk radio-style programs professionally produced, optimized for online distribution, featuring Columbus, Ohio on-air personalities. TalkTainmentRadio.com offers listeners diverse programming options covering topics such as arts and culture, love, life and relationships, technology, religion, paranormal activities, local and national politics, women's issues, alongside health and wellness. Listeners can access their favorite TalkTainmentRadio.com programs free of cost through the website. Download the TTR app to your cell phone and you can take us wherever you go. We have programs on demand to fit your schedule through our podcast. The address is TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Have you ever wished you could spend more time with your kids, or maybe quality time with your spouse, when you can actually have an uninterrupted conversation? Do you owe your dad a little catch-up time? Well, it's time to reconnect, and no activity can bond a family together quite like boating and fishing. I mean, think of all the great experiences you had as a kid when you went boating or fishing. Well, guess what? It's still great. Boating and fishing are the perfect opportunities for your family to get away, to talk, to laugh, to create new memories. So take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you. If you haven't been on the water in a while and you're not sure where to start, or if you just like to have some helpful tips for your next trip, please visit TakeMeFishing.org. This has been a public service of TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
McGruff the Crime Dog here. Let's hear from an identity thief.
Identities are easy to catch online. I send people an official-looking email pretending to be their bank or credit card company and ask them to confirm their personal information. Books them every time.
Safeguard your personal information on the phone, online, and especially at home, because half of identity theft occurs by someone you think you know. Keep your identity to yourself and take a bite out of crime. Learn more from the National Crime Prevention Council at ncpc.org.
A message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the National Crime Prevention Council.
I don't recycle. I mean, we can just find another planet for your kids to live on, you know?
Log on to YouGottaBeKidding.org and learn about all the ways you can recycle.
Hey, recycling's just not my thing.
Don't be that guy. Log on to YouGottaBeKidding.org.
Hey, wake up. You can't dream your way into college. There are actual steps you need to take, steps that go beyond just getting good grades. So if you're serious about college, visit knowhowtogo.org today. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service